Another service, online service. It's hard to believe, but today is our ninth month where we have not met in as a full capacity church. And so it's hard to believe that we are in this season, but we're so glad that you have joined us. And hopefully today the Holy Spirit would make our worship experience a very meaningful one to you today. As Pastor Connie said a moment ago, please take time after the service today to connect with our link that will be in the chat. And it's a Zoom meeting that we're going to have a Cafe Connect afterwards. And we really encourage you to connect with one another during this time. Just pay attention at the end of the service in the chat. You'll see a link and you can click on that and it'll directly move you into a virtual Cafe Connect. And to have that, you need to have some tea and coffee ready so you can share with one another the Christmas spirit. We're going to continue our series today entitled A Christmas Playlist. In anticipation of Christmas, we're looking at these different songs that we find in the Christmas story that came out of the mouths of people as they were anticipating the birth of Jesus. Last week, we looked specifically at Mary's song. And there's something about songs and singing that evokes an emotional response in our lives. Songs are uniquely able to convey some very strong messages and emotions and thoughts. And as we hear those songs, it decidedly marks in our spirit something that rejuvenates us or gives us hope. And so in this Christmas season, we're looking at these songs, these four unique songs that have been presented to us in the scripture. If you have your Bibles, take a moment and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, because we're going to be spending our time in that book. And we're looking at Zechariah today. Zechariah is a very unique individual in the gospel story of Jesus's birth. He has a rich heritage and he has a priestly heritage coming from a long line of God-fearing people. In fact, his wife Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron, the brother of Moses. And she's also the cousin, Elizabeth is, the cousin of Mary, who would become the mother of Jesus. And Zechariah was a priest among 18,000 priests who served in the temples throughout the nation of Israel. And twice a year, for 1 week, he was always called to Jerusalem to serve in the main temple located in the capital city of Jerusalem. And the Bible describes us, if you read Luke chapter 1, the Bible describes this couple, Elizabeth and Zechariah, as blameless, respected for their godliness. In other words, they were people looked up to because they sincerely followed God's commands and they lived a righteous life. Unfortunately, even though they were well respected, there was a negative aspect to their life, perhaps a dark side, which was very problematic in not only their lives, but also in the community's life, because Elizabeth was barren. She could not have children. And in that particular time in history, there was a stigma attached to couples, especially a couple who served in the priestly role in the temple of God, not to have children. In that culture, that was a stigma. And people within their community questioned whether or not there was sin in their lives because Elizabeth was barren. How could a priest who was serving God not be blessed by God to have children? And the stigma was, obviously, there must be sin in their lives. And yet, while Zechariah was chosen to come to Jerusalem to carry out this pre-described priestly duty in the inner sanctum of the temple in Jerusalem, and we read about the fact that while he was there at the altar of incense, an angel appeared and made a fantastic announcement to him that he and his wife, to he and his wife that Elizabeth would become pregnant and that she would bear a child, a son, and they were to name him John. And it's interesting to me that when Zechariah hears these words, he responds by saying, "How can I be sure this is really going to happen?" And the angel says to him, "You will become mute." In other words, you're not going to be able to speak until a child is born. Now, I personally made a note to myself when I read these words. I made this personal note. If an angel ever appears to me with a supernatural message, note to self, don't ask how. Simply say yes. Because this is what you need to know. God always keeps his word. And you need to know that God always keeps his promises. They may be outlandish and they may be extreme on the surface, but when God speaks and when God initiates something, action happens. Mountain ranges are put into place. In fact, when God speaks, the universe comes into being. Now, in Zechariah's life, though he questioned this potential through the message that the angel gave, when Zechariah went outside after completing these priestly duties in the inner sanctum of the temple, people recognized that something was amiss by his gestures, by the fact he could no longer speak. Something extraordinary must have happened in that inner sanctum of the temple. And the prophetic declaration that the angel made came to be true because Elizabeth became pregnant. And as we talked about last week, 6 months into her pregnancy, into Elizabeth's pregnancy, she receives a visit from Mary. And when Mary comes, she confirms also that she is pregnant with God's son, the anointed one. And Elizabeth reiterates this fact, by telling Mary that as soon as she walked in and made that announcement, the child within Elizabeth's womb leapt with joy. And so now we pick up the story. If you have your Bibles and you open them up, or if you're on a smartphone or iPad or whatever your device is, look at Luke chapter 1, verse 57 through verse 58. We pick up the story, and it says these words. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. Now, the backstory to these verses is you have to understand a little bit about Jewish custom and culture. Because with the birth of a child, the Jewish custom is highlighted by the fact that there is a huge gathering, a party, as it were, an event. People just didn't come together and pay their respects. No. They stayed for a week until circumcision had happened for a male baby. And that occurred on the eighth day. So for 7 days, there was a celebration. Neighbors would come, relatives would come, the community would come together to share in this joy. And since it was Zechariah's and Elizabeth's first child, it was even more special. And the fact that they were highly respected in the community as a priest, there was added excitement and added celebration in the community. And on the eighth day, or by the eighth day, the baby had to receive a name prior to circumcision. And people assumed that his name would be Zechariah. And since Elizabeth was the only one that could speak, remember, because of Zechariah's doubt, he became mute, and Elizabeth now is the only one who could speak. She says, the baby's name is to be John. John, whose meaning is, the Lord is gracious. When this announcement happened, people became agitated because it wasn't the family name that she was giving to her newborn son. So they migrated to Zechariah, and he tried to communicate with gestures that this was going to be his name. They didn't understand. So finally, Zechariah takes a tablet and he writes on that tablet, his name is John. And the moment that he writes that name on this tablet, instantaneously, he is able to speak. And the Bible says in verse 64 and verse 65, these words, instantly Zechariah could speak again. And he began praising God. Awe fell on the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. After 9 months of silence, things changed instantaneously. N.T. Wright compares this silence to Zechariah as a microcosm of a picture of what had taken place for 400 years of God's silence. This time period between the Old Testament and the New Testament where God was absolutely absent from world events and world affairs. There was no engagement, no prophetic word that came from the Lord. And just as Zechariah could not speak for a time, now he bursts forth in praise. And just as God, who had not spoken for 400 years, but now this news, things were about to change, and God was going to begin something new, something fuller, something richer, something that was going to impact all the people for many generations throughout the world. And what began as a sign, almost as a punishment to Zechariah for his lack of faith, now God was embarking on something new that deserves our faith. There was going to come a change, a new sign from God. Something brand new was going to transpire that was going to impact the world. 9 months of silence. Words bound up in Zechariah's heart. The word of the Lord could not come forth. And then finally, the Holy Spirit conveyed a message through him when he wrote that word, John, on a tablet. The Holy Spirit, things which he could not pronounce, caused Zechariah to shout with joy, an exuberant song of thanksgiving once his muted punishment was released. There was a torrent, an unleashing, as it were, of incredible praise unto God, a song of thanksgiving. And as we look at his song, let me just highlight some observations of this exuberant expression that came forth from Zechariah's song of praise. And the first thing I want you to notice is that his song exemplifies this truth, that God's story intermingles with my life story. God's story intermingles with my life story. You see, there's an understanding in Zechariah that his role, while limited, is still a part of God's overall plan that God was trying to fulfill. Zechariah knows his role, and the birth of the son is only to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. Look what it says in verse 67. In verse 67 through verse 70, then his father Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, and gave this prophecy. Here's the song. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. Verse 69. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. And just like Mary's song last week, as we talked about last week, these lyrics in Zechariah's song, bringing glory to God, bringing honor to the people, we have to look at the history that is associated of what he is beginning to sing here. There is history, There is a destination that affects all of our lives. And each of you, throughout each and every single day, need to understand that there is this incredible intermingling between our lives here on this earth and an intermingling of the divine. You may look at your life as mundane, as boring, as maybe uneventful, nothing happening. But let me tell you something. I'm telling you that every single day that you have breath in your lungs is a day that the Lord has made for you, and there is a distinct purpose, and we need to begin to see that each and every 24-hour period a day has eternal purposes attached to it. That there are eternal purposes that God is playing out, even if you don't see it, even if you don't feel it. There is something dynamic happening in each one of our lives. And if there's anything that Zechariah embraced, it was to accept the fact that God, through him, was fulfilling a divine plan. Yes, unusual. An angel making a pronouncement. Absolutely strange circumstances. But not only is this God's story that he is unfolding, but Zechariah is a participant in the story of God. And even though Zechariah lacked faith when the angel appeared to him, even though he doubted and even though he questioned whether God was actually going to accomplish this feat, we need to understand that that's exactly where we are at many, many times, even in our lives. We doubt. We lack trust that God's best interest is playing out in our lives. We come to a place in our lives where we can't envision the role of how we play in the greater scheme of things. And I want to encourage you this Christmas season that we need to have our perspective change and we need to have our diligence increase in understanding that while we may not experience in our lives what we think should be happening, let me tell you that God behind the scenes is doing dramatic things in every single one of our lives. We need to understand that and comprehend it. God's story in this world is unfolding, and you are a part of the dynamic of God's story, and his very specific story intermingles with your life. The second thing that I think is so important for us to understand is the second part of the song. And what I discover here is that we need to see that God's timing is impeccable and perfect. Look what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 71. Says these words, now we will be saved, as the song continues. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant. It goes on to say, in verse 73, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham, we have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. Now, what is happening here? As part of this song of thanksgiving, this praise that is being ushered forth by Zechariah, once he hears, once he comes from being mute because he pronounces his name John, what is happening here is as part of his song of thanksgiving, Zechariah is recounting some of the promises that God made to his people of Israel. These promises are found in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Look what it says. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. That is what Zechariah is singing about. That is what the nation of Israel has been waiting for 4,000 years. They were waiting for the fulfillment of this unique promise that God made. And I'm sure in their history as a nation, there were moments of great distress, great famines. There were times of war when people longed for the deliverance and they longed for the fulfillment of this promise. Yet God waited. God waited for 4,000 years. I don't know about you, but I have noticed and I have witnessed, even in my own life, and you know this, the tendency of us as people, when the waiting gets too long, we try to speed things up. We want release during times of struggle and distressing times and times of stress. We as people become impatient and irritable during times of waiting. We're certainly not joyful and certainly not thankful when things are not working out according to the way I think they should work out. And if things are not unfolding just right according to the plans that I have laid out in the manner that I think they should work, we have a tendency to become very solution-oriented and we put waiting aside and we just steamroll ahead to make things happen. Our human nature can be seen in our children every single time as they are waiting and anticipating Christmas. We want things now, and we want things, what we want them now. And the same thing happens with children when they see the presents under a Christmas tree. They want to open them now. Yet God's timing in our life is always perfect. You may not think that to be true. You may not believe that to be true. But can I tell you that in your life, God is never late. He is never early. He is always right on time. And though you may have doubt as your first response, or you may question God's plan, just like Zechariah did, or you may feel inadequate for a task that God has prepared for you, or you may think that you are underqualified, or you may feel frightened because you are outside of your comfort zone. Let me tell you this though, friends. Yet God, wherever He has placed you in that certain moment, in that particular placement, He will have you there for a distinct purpose, for a very distinct reason. He has a purpose and a plan that He will unfold in a timely fashion, in a timely manner in each one of our lives. I don't know if many of you can remember a very tragic airline crash. It happened in 1982. You can look it up online, where Air Florida Flight 90 crashed into the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. 20 seconds after takeoff, 74 out of the 79 passengers, when the plane crashed, would perish in the crash. And video shows people being lifted to safety, and it was a struggle because the water temperature in the river was 0 degrees Celsius. And there was one woman. There was one woman who was losing her strength quickly. After only 15 minutes in that cold water, they would throw her the life ring and she would try to grasp the ring. And each time she would try to hang onto the ring and latch onto it, and as they began to lift it up, she would lose her grip and fall back into the water. Time and time again, the helicopter tried to reach her and lift her out of the water. And time again, she would slip back into the water. The Washington Post reports these words. Now that the shoreline of the river was crowded with rescue personnel, no one acted, even though this woman's fate was very obvious. But at that moment, a 28-year-old government employee, Lenny Stutnik, who stood watching along the riverbank, could stand it no longer. Lenny said these words later. He said, I felt so hopeless. She was screaming. Would somebody please help me? Somebody please help me. And I saw her go under the water surface. And it was then I jerked off my boots, took off my coat, and jumped into the water, dodging chunks of ice and airplane debris. He swam to her, raised her head above the water, and began to drag her back to shore. When he was asked later, why did you do that? He said these words. When the girl needed saving, it seemed as if God looked around and went, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and you're mo. And so I jumped in. Listen, friends, there is nothing more that Satan would desire and love anything more in your life than for you to become an apathetic bystander in life. Satan would love nothing more. You just becoming a simple, casual observer, where you become absolutely and totally blinded to the opportunities, where you rehearse the messages in your mind and they infiltrate your heart, messages like, God doesn't care about me, he's forgotten me, I'm not necessary, I'm not needed, I have nothing to offer. There is nothing more that Satan would like to emphasize into your life than your inadequacies. But please pay attention to this. With God's impeccable timing and with God's desire to put you into the right and proper spaces in life, he may place you into situations, into environments where you begin to wonder why you are there. The water may look really cold and things may be dangerous, but please understand, wherever God has you placed and whatever he requires of you, he has you there because he wants you to be a person of influence, and he has a message to the world that he wants to share through your life. Several years ago, I'll never forget this, a couple came to me and apologized to me. And they said, Pastor, you sometimes see us leave your worship service early. And we want you to know why we do this. We want you to know that it isn't anything that is being said or done in the service, but we need to be in an elderly care center because we have found that some of these people have no one and they are so lonely. So every Sunday, we get up and we head over to the care center to bring God's love and God's compassion to these people. We do this week after week after week. You see, friends, that couple is operating in God's timing. And God, in the same way, tapped Zechariah and Elizabeth. He tapped them on the shoulder and said to them, I have chosen you to raise a child who will be instrumental in paving the way for my son, Jesus Christ. My son who will redeem the world. I have tapped you to be a forerunner to what he will accomplish. And here's my last observation of this fantastic song that Zechariah sings. Lastly, God's son Jesus is my source of salvation. Look what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 76. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Verse 78. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. I love that phrase. The morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. That is a reference to Jesus. That is a reference to Jesus who will break onto the scene like sunrise dispelling the darkness. This verse, this proclamation is a fulfillment of a messianic prophecy where it is being pictured that he is the one who is rising up to bring light into a darkening world. The prophetic word of Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 2 of Isaiah says these words, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light." That's a prophetic word of Jesus coming. "For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine." See, the prophecy of the fulfillment of that prophecy is in Zechariah's song, where he describes the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2 says these words, "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you." And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who lived in the land where death casts a shadow, a light has shined." Now, what you need to understand is wherever in the Bible it describes this proclamation of light, the Bible is describing the hope that the Messiah brings into the world. It's always in terms of light. Light is a description of Jesus coming into the world to dispel the darkness. Now, you may think to yourself, well, why is that so significant? Because not only is Jesus referred to as light, but Jesus looked to his followers and during his ministry said, "You are also the light to the world." In other words, my identification to Jesus and my decision to follow Jesus causes me and causes you who've also made that decision to be a representation, a reflection of the light of Christ to the world. Just like John became a forerunner and a proclaimer of who Jesus was to be, we also, in our day and age, are people who represent the Lord on this earth. You see, John's purpose is described in John chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 9. Look at these words. God sent a man, John the Baptist. His father, obviously, was Zechariah. We just read about him. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. Verse 8 and 9. To tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony, John himself was not the light, he was simply a witness to tell about the light. That's our purpose, friends. That's my purpose. That's your purpose in life. We are Christ's representatives, his ambassadors. We are followers of Christ who hold the title of light bearers. We are light to the world. Can you imagine? Can you imagine for a moment? 9 months of complete, total, utter silence. And then exuberance, a bursting forth of a fantastic pronouncement from Zechariah. It must have felt like an eruption of like a volcano coming forth when he witnessed the fulfillment of God's promise. And yet, here we are, another Christmas. Yes, it's different. We are in 2020. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and here we are. But one thing hasn't changed, and that is we are still familiar with the Christmas story. But sometimes, I'm afraid, we sometimes forget about the involvement and the praise that was associated with people who experienced the birth of Christ. And it's no different. We sometimes skip over the story. We sometimes miss some important aspects to the Christmas story. But please understand today, this incredible song of praise that Zacharias sings at the birth, leading up to the birth of Jesus, is a fantastic pronouncement of what God can accomplish and how God fulfills his promises in the lives of his people. And so today, as we close, can I just suggest to you today, my friends, can I just suggest to you that your Christmas this year be filled with extraordinary praise? That somehow you would find it in and of yourself to exude the praise that is within your spirit and let it come forth in a bountiful expression of joy that the birth of Christ has fulfilled not only a plan and purpose that God had for his nation thousands of years ago, no, but today. May our hearts be so filled with exuberant joy and praise because God has a plan and God still has a purpose for your life. And whatever promises that you've come to adhere to, though they may not have yet happened, may you experience this Christmas a revitalization to the fact that God works on behalf of his people. And so we declare, oh come, oh come, oh come Emmanuel, come fresh, come anew in our lives. Build up the faith in all of us so that we can experience God's purposes being fulfilled in our world wherever God has placed us. May you accept that truth this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we finish our worship experience today, on the 13th day of December, may we embrace the fact that all of us have a distinct story, that you are working in our lives. And let us continue, O God, to be people who express the goodness of our God and the faithfulness of our God to a world that is still living in darkness. I pray, Lord, this Christmas season, as we are in the middle of a pandemic, somehow let the light of Jesus shine through each of us in a distinct way wherever you have placed us. That is my prayer for all of us today in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen, amen. So glad that you could join us today. We pray that you would have a fantastic week as we head towards the Christmas day itself. Don't forget our Christmas Eve service and also immediately following our service right now. There is a link in the chat. Please log on and let's have fellowship with one another in Cafe Connect. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. In Jesus' name, amen.